Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the Fukushima irradiated. It all rhymes, doesn't it? It must be true. My very special guest joining me today is Dr. Edward Group. Now, initially, I thought that this was actually a whole bunch of people, but it's not a group, it's just one guy. Dr. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on again. Good morning.
Well, would you be able to regale me with who you are, what you do, and how you got into it?
Absolutely. Well, I was actually brainwashed in going into the medical profession. My dad was a chemist. He worked for Exxon. He was a co-developer of the Saran Wrap and then also a co-developer of PVC plastics, which now I'm, you know, heavily involved in educating people about BPA and the dangers of the phthalates, et cetera. And he also did some work for the government, some top secret work for the government. And my family actually traces back to the Websters that wrote the Webster's Dictionary and also Pelletiah Webster, who wrote the original Constitution in the United States. So I have a long history there, but you know, I wanted to pursue medicine. My dream was to become a heart surgeon. And right before I entered medical school, I was talking to a guy at the dinner table that just so happened to be working with cancer patients, but doing it naturally, using ozone and all types of real high-end herbs and hyperthermia and stem cell stuff. And so we kind of got into a little bit of an argument, and, you know, I was, of course, you know, trying to defend what I had been taught, and then he was trying to say basically that everything I'm being taught was false. And so he challenged me to go to the library and take any pharmaceutical medication that I wanted and look it up. So I did, and at that point, it didn't take me more than a couple of hours to realize that that's really the changing moment in my life that opened my eyes to what was going on. And it was like the blinders came off. And I realized that at that point in time that the pharmaceuticals were not doing anything but harming people, and they were covering up a symptom and never meant to get anybody better, never meant to cure anybody. So I went back to him and I asked him to teach me everything he knew, and he did. And then I traveled around and I went down and trained with the cancer doctors down in Mexico and started going to all the natural cancer symposiums, started looking outside the box in every area of my life. And then that's what led, you know, when you open your mind, more and more information comes in and comes in and comes in. And so I got pretty heavily involved with everything, because we opened up a cancer clinic in 1998, me and this guy and a couple other physicians, and we were doing natural treatments. And what we were doing was focusing on the root cause of cancer and degenerative illnesses. And what we found out with our research was that every single disease known to man is caused by an accumulation of chemicals and toxins coming into the body and not enough getting out. So as we started evaluating what these toxins are, that led us to, you know, uncovering all of the Monsanto and the government involvement with vaccines, flu shots, chemtrails, fluoride in the water, the addition of pesticides, and even going as far as you know, introducing microwave ovens to destroy fame. I mean, it went deeper and deeper.
It's such a learning curve, you know, because like everything you take for granted is suddenly a threat.
Yes, literally, if you look around, I mean, from the fluorescent lighting that's above you to the air that you're breathing, to the water that you're drinking, to the negative influence from the media campaigns that are on TV that are destroying the brain, from the vaccinations and the flu shots that are being given to the children and dumbing them down, and you know, every single where you look, even the clothing. I mean, most people don't even realize that women, the wire is designed in bras to initiate, you know, with all the cell phone towers and the electromagnetic radiation now, you're seeing an increase in breast cancer, also due to a severe deficiency of iodine, which I know you talk about, and that's one of my big supplements as well because of the attack on the endocrine system. And it's all done by design. I mean, you know, the Bilderbergs and the Club of Rome and everybody that's – all these pieces which they put out there for all of us, you know, right in our face, and people don't realize that they're exposed to all these chemicals and toxins millions upon millions upon millions every single day. And they entered through the intestines. Most of them enter through the intestines because our main job was to track it all back to the root cause of disease. And we did. And we figured that all of these things entered through the intestines and then got transferred in through the blood to some organ and caused either mental illness or caused diabetes or cancer or whatever. So we were very successful, and we had our clinic in Houston, Texas, and we were right down the road from MD Anderson, which is a famous cancer hospital here in the United States. And we were getting probably anywhere from 50 to 70% success rates with cancer, and that's unbelievable considering the MD Anderson has the top, they call it, cure rates in the world at 4%. Of course, those are based on a 4.5-year cycle because they know that the cancer is automatically going to come back, usually right around the 5-year mark. So at that point in time is when we started getting threatening phone calls. Our office was raided. Our files were burned. I was thrown in the backseat of a car, taken to an unknown location, harassed. Had death threats. I was basically told, you cannot do this. You know, there's no way that we can allow this information to get out. And at that point in time, what we wanted to, I mean, we were basically shut down. And we had royal family flying in from London to see us too. I mean, and we had some pretty high-level people coming to see us to get, you know, the natural methods that we developed, the protocols we developed. Because all we were doing really was just teaching people how to reactivate their own body's self-healing mechanism. I mean, we weren't flooding them down with all kinds of nutrients and everything, but what was so successful is we were cleansing their body out. You know, just kept cleansing the intestines, the liver, cleansing all the heavy metals out of their body, all the poisons out of their body, cleansing their liver really, really well, their kidneys. And once they have once you have a clean body, then their own body self-healing mechanism would kick in and they would be able to get rid of whatever disease they had. So
I was just thinking, as you were saying this, you know, just before you said that you got shut down and raided and thing, I was just thinking to myself, you know, I'm going to ask him whether he got shut down or raided because it was, he just straight up answered it. Yeah. And when it comes to these medical debates, I mean, I did this meme about the vaccine debate, but it occurs to me that this is actually the exact same for pretty much all medical debate. Like, one side has billions of dollars to spend on marketing, the other side has nothing. One side has effective control over the FDA and EMA and US government, and the other refuse to administer treatments if they don't know what the ingredients are. One side gets caught lying all the time, and the other side have scientific evidence from trials verified by third parties with no financial stake. One side sells products direct to consumers, and the other side gets sued all the time by pharmaceutical companies. One side pays doctors bonuses for the more product they sell, and one side get their practices raided and shut down by people with guns. One side justify product safety with tiny medical trials without control groups, and one side have their medical licenses revoked. One side got sued so much that the US government made it illegal to sue them, and the other side submit research findings directly to government officials who don't look at it. Who are we supposed to trust here? I think it's pretty clear.
It seems to me that it's pretty clear, and it seems to you that it's pretty clear, and I think more and more people are actually waking up to that. Just because of the fact that the healthcare systems are not working. I mean, they watched their grandmother die. They're watching their parents on 6 or 7, 8 different medications not improve. At least we've seen in the last 10 years, it's not a severe shift over to our side, but there was one survey not too long ago. They said 9 out of 10 people had some form of vitamin supplement in their house, you know. But that's, again, most of the vitamin supplements out there are really not that good either, because they're owned by the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. And most people don't realize that. So
they're like bedpan bullets. You only get like 10% absorption from a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, the chemotherapy radiation, the medical mafia, the AMA, I mean, it's a humongous industry. I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars. And it's also the best population control industry, because the medical industry is the leading cause of death in the United States as well. So it's a way to introduce sterility, which is another big plan that's going on with all the phthalates and the plastics. And if you even look at a lot of the pharmaceutical medications, it's not the actual medication in there. Well, the actual medication does do harm, but if you look at the filler compounds in there, they have toxic chemicals like fluoride. And, you know, most of the antidepressants have fluoride and chlorine-containing compounds in them. And they
probably figured that out after the Gulag Archipelago reduced the amount of guards that they needed by 75% after fluoridating the water.
Exactly. Do you guys fluoridate over there?
Yes, we do, but a lot of fluoride activists find it really hard to find a girlfriend or boyfriend, so I thought about creating a website for them called fluoridate.co.nz. I met my husband on Fluoridate. Great.
But yeah, I mean, we're seeing in so now what we just educate, like what you do. I mean, we're really we're really telling people and educating people on how they can protect themselves from the attack of the chemicals in the air, food, and water, and how they can keep their bodies clean, and how they can avoid all those things. So in the event of, you know, a financial crisis or an EMP or whatever happens, they're not part of that system. They're not being attacked by that system. You know, we haven't got to the point yet, but we have over here the TSA in place. I mean, it's basically a martial law over here already, just because of the TSA, Homeland Security. I mean, they've taken most of our rights away.
It's soft martial law. A friend of mine was talking to me yesterday, and he said, "Hey, Vinny, I read this article that says they're going to have RoboCop type things on the streets of the United States by 2016." And I said, "Well, a case can be made for an argument that there kind of already is." And he says, "What? Predator drones?" And I go, "Nah. Have you seen what these cops in the United States dress like, act like, are like, bro? They're practically RoboCop already."
Every day you hear about something happening in some small city or something, to where, and you see it happening too. You see that the police used to just have police uniforms on, and now they're militarized. I mean, they have the military weapons, they have the military black riot gear.
We're wearing balaclavas. We're here to help you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty. It's going in a weird direction, but I mean, that's why it's so important for people to understand what they can do to keep their body and their mind clean. I tell you, one of the things also that's just shocking to me that's been happening, and it's a whole nother attack that was developed by and this is going on all over the world, is the attack on children and the attack on everybody using psychotropic drugs. Now they realize, when they created the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, that they could diagnose people without any type of blood work, without any type of proof that
or
they
science
have
for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I've got a whole bunch of list of symptoms. Everybody, do you reckon this is a disease? Raise your hands. Yeah, I reckon that is. Cool, sweet ass, it's a disease. Let's chuck it in the book. Hey, what kind of medication are we going to be selling to people in order to combat this new disease that we just recognized by a vote and no blood test or scientific trials or surveys of any kind? I don't know. what's the pharmaceutical companies that we've got like 14 financial connections coming out with next? Okay. It looks like this new pill. And things of that nature. What does this disease that we just made up do to people? It makes people kind of like uncomfortable around crowds. I'll give them that one then. It's sure to work, I wonder.
There's no diagnostics that they need. All they need is for you to walk in and say you're a little bit anxious or you're a little bit depressed. You just broke up with your boyfriend or girlfriend. But the thing is, they're actually causing the mental disorder with the GMOs and the soy and the estrogens and the endocrine disrupting chemicals that they're spraying. I mean, I don't know how bad the chemtrails are over there, but over here they're pretty bad. And they put women on birth control pills. Alcohol now is an endocrine disrupting chemical. The research is showing. So it's social engineering is what's happening. They're manipulating people through the chemicals. They're causing the mental disorders, causing the chemicals and the metals to accumulate in the brain through mercury fillings, massive amounts of aluminum poisoning coming down from the chemtrails and the deodorants and the, you know, everything else combined with all the thyroid shutting down halogens, which are fluoride and bromine and chlorine. So, of course, that's going to cause you to be depressed. It's going to cause you to have fits of anger. It's going to cause you to be unhappy from time to time. It's going to cause stress. It's going to cause anxiety. And so they know that with all the chemicals that they're exposing people to, that everybody's going to, at sooner or later, have some sort of chemical imbalance, what they call it, or mental disorder. And that's exactly how they did it. The DSM-1, the first manual that came out in 1952, had 112 mental disorders. The DSM-5 that came out in 2013 has close to 400 disorders. And the psychiatry market is way bigger than the standard medical market, except for chemotherapy and radiation, because they make about $350 billion a year just in the psychiatric industry.
People have the nerve to call people like you quacks who don't follow scientific principles or follow the Hippocratic Oath.
Exactly. I mean, if anybody doesn't follow the Hippocratic Oath, it's them. And
I thought they misspelled it, and they thought, I thought we had to take a Hippocratic Oath, right? Wasn't that the whole deal?
I guess so. It's just a really sick thing that's happening, and especially the attack on the children. Now, there was a psychiatry conference not too long ago, and they interviewed psychiatrists coming out of there, and they asked them all, what age do you think it's safe to prescribe psychiatric medications? And it started off with them saying, 13, 10, 8, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, infant. And then they had a whole group of psychiatrists that said, in the womb. So they're trying to get people, even during pregnancy and even in the womb, mothers that are depressed, and diagnosing through ultrasound with, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're actually diagnosing bipolar while the baby's still in the womb and giving the medications to the mother. And what is...
Ironically, the people who are recommending this, they sound like they need medication.
Exactly. They do need medication. They need to figure out what's going wrong in their head, really. It's the suicide rates are also going through the roof. I mean, there's 5-year-old kids that are committing suicide on record. And here's normal teenage children that play sports that are normal in every way, and then all of a sudden they start experiencing a little bit of anxiety or a little bit of depression. They go in, they get on antidepressants, and within, let's say 6 months, they've committed suicide. Their whole life has changed and their whole family's changed.
Yeah, it's the same here in New Zealand, and it's never the drug's fault. It's never the pharmaceutical company's fault, even though they have listed on the side effects suicide, you know. And on top of that, I believe there was a horrific statistic. I think the year before the AMA's own analysis accredited themselves as being the United States' number one killer, it was the number one killer being suicide. Incidentally, most of which caused by the frickin' pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, I mean, exactly. I remember when I was a kid, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a student. I would have been labeled easily as ADD, ADHD. My parents actually took me to a psychiatrist because I was having these visions and I was, you know, writing down all these things and had like 30 inventions in a notebook by the time I was like 28, and no one could understand me, and I hated school because I couldn't really, you know, connect, and I wasn't fitting in with society, and I remember going to the psychiatrist all the time and them saying that I would never amount to anything. I would be good as a police officer or a fireman or something like that. And just recently, there was a lady that pulled up files and found that some of the smartest people were the ones that were just like that, that in living in this day would have been diagnosed with some sort of mental illness. Einstein didn't even really speak really well until he was 9 years old. Mozart, Beethoven, Tesla, Lincoln, Sir Isaac Newton, all of those guys had disabilities, mental disabilities when they were growing up and didn't come out of it until they were around 12 years old. Those were the geniuses. So what have we done? I mean, how many geniuses have you seen since those times? What have we done to the geniuses? We've completely blocked their minds. We don't allow the children to develop until they're around 12, when their brain and their immune system is fully developed. So what we're doing is we're reducing and destroying the potential geniuses that are being born by putting them on medications. And that's all. And then, of course, that's all done by design. You there? Are you there? My audio is not.
So yeah, I apologize for that. I was just stepping out for a second. The thing that seems to occur to me is that we're dealing with an institutional corruption. Okay, it's something that's actually built into the system. And the person I think explained this most clearly to me and actually kind of gave me that aha moment was the editor of New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, Catherine Smith. And she told me this one time about the Flexner Report. And it was like, there was a dude named Flexner, who incidentally had massive financial connections to the Rockefellers, who incidentally had a whole lot of waste oil products that they couldn't use because they were toxic, so they turned them into medications instead, and sent this dude Flexner around to all of the health schools and medical colleges and things of that nature around the United States, giving them a rating as being either very good or not very good. Incidentally, the only people he gave a very good rating were the ones selling Rockefeller drugs, and the ones that he gave really bad ratings to were all the other various eclectic medicine bases, chiropractic, herbology, naturopathy, all the whole kit and caboodle. And voila, you have a virtual medical monopoly over the United States. Thank you.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, and now you have all these kids that are being diagnosed with ADHD, and they're being put on things like Ritalin and Adderall and all these. Basically, it's nothing more than methamphetamine with the same side effects and addictive tendencies as cocaine and I mean, they're opiate based. They're stimulant drugs, so it just wreaks havoc on their body. You're seeing massive side effects now with kids, nervousness, anorexia, weight loss. They even cause psychosis, sudden death, stroke, heart attack. They cause bipolar in some kids, psychotic syndrome, circulation problems, Raynaud's phenomenon. Some of them get depressed, and then they get put on antidepressants with the ADHD medications. And the antidepressants, of course, you know, we talked about with suicide, violence. I heard the other day that a child that was 10 actually violently attacked and stabbed the family dog and killed it. I mean, a 10-year-old stabbing the family dog and killing it, it was like 4 days after the kid had been put on medications. But not only that, you look at the symptoms, some of the other symptoms, such as weight gain, constipation, loss of sexual desire, anxiety, insomnia. So what happens if you can create a list of symptoms in somebody's body? And we know that a lot of, when we were studying the fact that all the toxins come into the body that cause disease through the intestines, well, then we started looking at, well, how many bowel movements should people have every day? Well, one to two bowel movements seems pretty normal. We looked at the animal industry, and the animals like birds and cows and squirrels, they have multiple bowel movements every single day. But if you look at Americans, especially with a really poor diet, we have an average of 2 to 3 bowel movements a week. Well, they know that if they can cut down on the amount of bowel movement somebody's having, that they can initiate the disease process exponentially. And that means another thing that's done by design is to create constipation within the masses.
Congress and suddenly is comprehensible to me now. This is how it works. It's constant constipation.
All throughout, from the government all the way down, and that's exactly how it works.
That's why everybody's so full of crap, man.
They are. They definitely are. That's why I developed a product just to make sure that people could go to the bathroom all the time based on Tesla's technology. It was one of the things that could help, you know, combat the problem. And they knew that if they put certain medication, certain compounds in all the medicines, it would also cause constipation. And for that matter, ruin the bowel. That's why you have so many people with bowel problems as well.
Yeah, see, I just have the two tall glasses of cool water in the morning, followed by a coffee, and that 2 to 3 bowel movements that Americans have in a given week, I have that in every given morning.
Well, you probably eat organic, and you know about all the things out there that to avoid. I mean, you're not drinking the fluoridated water. I don't know how good your air quality is over there.
Well,
but
I live in a suburb that we're surrounded with trees pretty much in all directions. We buy our water from an organic shop. We generally eat relatively organic stuff. And try to mitigate wireless radiation exposure. So all of our modems and everything have the Bluetooth and the wireless turned off, and there's just link cables running through. We've got filters on some of the ports here. We've got a blue shield going. It's basically like this. There's two ways to take care of your health. One is to actually get healthy, and the other one is to mitigate all the factors that make you sick.
And that's exactly what we teach. I mean, we give everybody a whole list of things to do. I mean, the first thing that we tell people to do is clean up the air quality, because you take 30,000 breaths every single day, and it's not that expensive to do. Put live plants around your home. Stop using chemical-based cleaners. Switch to organic-based paint. Don't use anything that's a volatile organic compound. Switch all your shampoo. Just go through your house, basically, and look at all the different things. Your laundry detergent, your dishwashing detergent, your shampoos, your conditioners, your soaps, your lotions, all of the things in your home. And you don't have to do it all at once. It'd be nice to, but we just tell people take it one step at a time. The next time that you need to get some soap, go get some organic soap and just slowly convert your whole environment that you live in to a nice, clean, toxin-free environment, and that way you're preventing exposure to all those chemicals and disease-causing agents and reducing it that way.
Mm. Rome wasn't built in a day, was it?
No, I mean, and then even people that are used to this, the fast food diet, or used to cooked, microwaved, processed, packaged foods, you know, those people can start just make that switch to organic, where you're not going to have the genetically modified organisms in there.
Well, that's not true. We just found out yesterday that the Organic Certification Authority of New Zealand allows for GMO stuff just as long as the growing practice is organic. So, oh, we don't use sprays, we don't use pesticides, we don't use herbicides. Here's some organic GMOs. Really? I'm not kidding you. Under FDA standards, you're allowed at least, at most, I think it's about 10% GMO or non-organic in the food chain. And I think that might be getting updated to, it doesn't matter. You can just say that you're organic. So were thinking about now is just basically the certifications. Almost every time that you have some sort of authority certifying people for something, whether that be a medical professional or a lawyer or whatever, the certification itself doesn't really matter. What matters is the person being certified and whether that person is of moral, ethical standpoint. So what a lot of New Zealand growers are now thinking of doing is saying, we're not going to say that we're organic because we have to pay and put up with all this red tape. What we're going to do is just say that it's spray-free, it's herbicide and pesticide-free, and it's grown using natural practices. Now, there's no law governing that, and it's for all intents and purposes organic, but in order to be classified as organic, they'd no longer be organic.
No, I mean, you're right. We are actually seeing, you know, we hear stories probably about every 6 months about a certified organic farm that was, and they caught using pesticides, or we just had a major chip maker that was stating non-GMO on their chips, and it was certified organic, and the chips were tested, and they were found to contain genetically modified organisms. So, yes, you're right. I mean, it's... We actually have our own farm, and it's organically certified and it's biodynamic certified. But I say this, and you hit it the nail on the head, is you really have to evaluate who the grower is and who the owner is of the farm, and look at their practices, because anybody can go out there, and there's a lot of farmers out there and a lot of farms even owned by big companies that just go through the organic certification to put the seal on the product. They could care less. And they tell the farmers out there, yeah, just, you know, do what you have to do, spray, you know, we don't really care about that. We just care about the seal. We actually care about the land, you know, and there's, just like you said, the farmers out there who really care about the land are starting to realize that there's a lot of different organic certifiers now, and some of the certifiers are more respected than other certifiers, and some of them aren't. And, you know, we're starting to see some corruption in that. I mean, the best case scenario, I mean, the best is start your own little garden. I mean, even organic live foods, they still have to be picked before they're ripe. And yes, they're better than all the chemical-based foods, but you're still not getting 100% of the energy value and the healing value that you're going to get if you have your own garden and you can actually pick it while it's and eat it right out of the ground.
It's that old saying, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
That's true. I mean, and right now we're... You know, there's a lot of research actually that's come out on wheat and gluten and the negative effects of gluten. And now they're saying that even one meal of gluten can affect your immune system for up to 6 months. So that's another. We have a lot of wheat and a lot of bread over here that people are eating all the time, which is just another way that their intestines are being destroyed. But yeah, there's also hidden GMOs everywhere with the BT toxin, the Bacillus thuringiensis, which is burning holes through our, first of all, it's almost wiped out the monarch butterflies, almost wiped out the bee population. I mean, Monsanto by itself has done more damage to the ecosystem, the water supply, the environment, all the living plants, animals, the bee population, the butterflies, and to humans than any corporation probably in the history of mankind.
I found out something different about the bees. Apparently, it's only one type of beekeeper that's being affected by colony collapse, mass beekeepers, whereas individuals who... beekeeping is like an art, as far as I understand it, and the people who are keeping just a few hives to themselves seem to have almost no colony collapse of any kind. So it's those people who are doing it en masse that seem to be suffering a lot of colony collapse. I thought that was an interesting factoid to insert in there. But what you're saying is that basically the gut itself has become sort of like a battleground, you know, like a big Cold War's going on there between the FDA and Vladimir Gluten.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yes, because we've broken down every single chemical. And, I mean, the gut is epithelial tissue. It's the biggest endocrine gland there that in our body. And everything starts, like disease begins, and health also begins in the intestines. I mean, the intestines are 30, 35 feet in length. If you cut them open, the surface area is the size of a tennis court. So just imagine all of the toxic food and beverages that come in, and the carbonated beverages and all of the boxed, canned, microwave food. People are not drinking enough water, which is another thing. And then it just sits inside their system because they're not chewing their food till it's a liquid before they swallow it. You know, they're eating in a stressed out state. They're eating. People are constantly now in a sympathetic state and not in a parasympathetic state. A parasympathetic is what you should be in when you eat, because it calms everything down and digestion starts to become initiated and digestion starts to work. But people are now eating in front of a computer. They're eating watching TV, the news. They're eating in the car. They're eating, so many different places where the stress levels are high and they're in a sympathetic state. And what happens is the digestion comes to a halt. So the food they're eating can actually turn against you and be attacked by the body and be looked at as a toxin instead of something that's nutritious and healthy for you.
There's also the element, like a lot of people will say, well, how could I be sitting in front of a computer or watching a movie or something like that and be stressed? Well, it's simply about how your eyes are made, bro. If you have a look at evolution, the reason why your eyes get stressed when you see flashing colors and things like that on the screen is because back in the day, that was what kept you alive. You saw a flash of orange in the jungle next to you, you instantly pay attention to it, even if it's out of the corner of your eye, because your eyes react to subtle variations in color and shadow. That's how you can spot things from a long way off. So you can imagine what happens when the entirety of 10 hours a day, or goodness knows how much screen time people are doing now, whether it be a computer screen, a TV screen, or the screen on their phone, you're constantly thinking in a psychological level, well, not a psychological level, kind of like a passive level, that there's a god-dash tiger about to eat you. That puts your body in stress automatically.
Yes, and then your digestion comes to a halt because the blood flow goes away from your digestion and goes to the heart and goes to the organs you need. It's the fight or flight response to give you the ability to get out of that area as fast as you can. So, I mean, the big pharma, they knew how important the gut was years ago. I mean, this is a huge attack on the gut. It's how you control people. You control people by contaminating their digestive system. It's how pretty much all the toxins enter the body. And what's strange is the appendix. Now, we were curious because we did so much research on the gut and how everything enters through the gut. And then we came to the appendix and we were like, wait a second, how is it possible that the medical profession still says that they don't know what the appendix is? There's got to be some conspiracy behind this. Well, what we found out was we started asking doctors, medical doctors. We started doing a survey and saying, tell us what you know about the gut. pretty much all medical doctors have no clue about the gut. They don't know how it works. They pay no attention to it. They don't know about any of the damage in the gut. Even, you know, intestinal doctors and endocrinologists and people that should have training, they said that there was very little training in medical school regarding the gut. Well, why do you think that is? Of course, they're not going to teach you about the one thing that is...
Why would you cure people when you can treat them endlessly and hold them in the palm of your hand until they die, dried up, both in body and in bank account?
I talked to one guy who was friends with one of the heads of one of the big pharma. He was a big pharma executive, and he literally said the first disaster is if you kill people in with a pharmaceutical, because obviously, you know, it's going to kill people. He goes, the second disaster for pharmaceutical companies is if you cure people. So the first disaster is if you kill people. The second disaster is if you cure people. So, I mean, obviously they don't want to do anything like that. But we were like, what's the big secret? You know, why is the gut a closely guarded secret of big pharma? Why is it a closely guarded secret of the medical mafia? What is the appendix? Well, we finally had to pull up some research from, it was actually some scientists over in Russia, and get it translated, and we found out that the appendix, which is about the size of your pinky finger, was actually the body's microcomputer system. It actually controlled it was the brain of the body. It controls the neurological system, the endocrine system, sends signals to the brain. And then it was very simple after that. It was like, well, of course, why wouldn't your main computer microchip be located in the intestines? That's where everything comes in. That's where it needs to be. So it can read the pH, it can read the sensitivity, it can read what chemicals are there, it can start all the processes, it can signal the production of enzymes, it can signal every single thing that needs to take place in the body. And what does the medical profession do now if you have an inflamed appendix? They take it out. So they take out your microcomputer relay station. And then you end up getting worse, and then you end up, you know, having problem after problem after problem after problem.
I've noticed this, that there's a whole soiree of things that happen medically to the body, which doctors admit they have no idea what it is or what to do with it, and yet they still apply general pathology in such a kind of callous, cold, unthinking, and... dare I say it, retarded way.
All they're looking for is to address the symptoms of what somebody has, and they're not looking to address the root cause of it. We actually did a test on people, and we took a bunch of people with a range of different degenerative diseases, and we took about an hour to an hour and a half long history. And this is one of the things that if you really want to be a good doctor, you need to become, you know, very attentive to the patient and listen to the patient, because a lot of times the patient will just tell you what's wrong with them. But the average time spent with a physician now is less than 7 minutes. I mean, how can that physician tell you or diagnose you in less than 7 minutes? So we took a number of people and sat them down and spent an hour and a half with them and got a whole list of the symptoms that was bothering them. In a standard medical practice, they would have been prescribed probably one or two or three medications at that point in time, and they would have left with those medications. But what we decided to do is we decided to put them on a three-week cleanse program, and then have them come back in and reevaluate them again and go through our whole checklist. We had about 80 different things on the checklist. Do you experience headaches one or two times a week? I mean, all of the questions, which were standardized for every single person. So we took about the top seven symptoms that those people had out of about 80 people. We put all of them, every single one of them, on the exact same process. First of all, we cleaned out their intestines with an oxygen-based cleansing product for the first 6 days. Then we had him do a liver and gallbladder cleanse, and we had him do a chemical and heavy metal cleanse. And then we had him come back in to the office, and we went back through that 80 question questionnaire. And in all 80 people, the symptoms did not match up to the initial visit. Either half of them were gone, some of them, 75% of them were gone, some of them, 25% of the initial symptoms were gone. And what we found out from that was that pretty much every diagnosis, I mean, that medical doctors are doing out there, the majority of them can be completely wrong, because what's showing on the outside might not necessarily be what's really wrong with them on the inside. So that was a valuable lesson for us, saying that what doctors need to do is clean the people out really good first, and then we continued on, and then later on we really saw, as the symptoms started going away, what the real problem was, the real underlying cause of their illness, and then we could address that.
That reminds me of what Dr. Thomas Levy said about vitamin C. I think one of the doctors who was experimenting with it was getting amazing results with intravenous vitamin C. Amazing results. Killing viruses left, right, and center, like it was frickin' Rambo of medication. And they said, well, whenever you get a patient in and you don't know what's wrong with it, just put them on intravenous vitamin C first and then ponder the diagnosis. And it seems that your practice is not entirely dissimilar. Clean somebody out and then start thinking about what's wrong with them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, why, you know, cleansing and detoxification has been used for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, ancient Egyptian texts, the Bible, I mean, any religious text out there is going to talk about how you need to cleanse your body once a year. Either it's a 40-day fast or different types of programs or protocols for cleansing your body out. I mean, your body is just like the earth cleanses itself when it can. The body needs to cleanse itself too. And you know, with the exposure right now of all of these chemicals and disease-causing agents, and just stress alone. I mean, stress alone, where your body produces its own harmful chemicals to destroy itself, you know, no one's taking the time and doing meditation and deep breathing exercises and doing relaxation. Here in America, we have one out of every four people with some sort of digestive ailment, whether it's constipation, IBS, excessive gas, bloating, lack of energy, bad breath, headaches, mood swings, weight gain. I mean, you know, you name it, it doesn't matter.
And again, Congress comes to mind.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that and what is that, and what, you know, it's the good news is it's so easy to fix and repair your intestines, because your intestines are like your skin. They're made out of epithelial cells, and those cells, you get new ones every 24 hours. You know, you get a new liver every 90 days, which is another thing that we found in our research, which is just completely congested. And part of the reason with, you know, the obesity problem, of course, has a lot to do with the MSG in foods and all the artificial compounds in foods. But really, the liver, people's livers are so congested, and the liver is your main detoxification organ. We had a guy that had 4-stage cancer, and he was sent home to live. He was only given 2 weeks to live, and he found our website and purchased our liver cleanse program, purchased a few of them actually, and he said, well, I'm just going to do this and see what happens. Well, he did the first liver cleanse. That takes about a week to do, and he was still alive. Then he did his second liver cleanse. He was still alive after that, and he should have been dead. You know, and he continued on every single week, and he started feeling better and better and better. And he was, you know, after his 26th liver cleanse, liver and gallbladder cleanse, he went back. He was feeling so good, he went back to his doctor, and all of his cancer had gone away. The only thing he did was keep cleansing his liver week after week after week after week, although he did also change his diet, you know, reduce all the amount of toxins that he was exposed to, his environment, reduces stress levels and everything like that. So I'm a big believer in simplicity. You know, usually it's like when something's staring, you're looking for to solve something, and a lot of times the answer is right there in front of your face and you don't even know it. And the simplicity of disease, the disease mechanism, is if you know what causes disease, or if you know what causes your symptoms, whether it's, you know, something like gas or bad breath or headaches, or it doesn't matter what it is, if you know that every single thing that you're going to experience, every symptom, is something coming in through your intestines, then you can start, you know, analyzing that and start cleansing the body, and all your symptoms will eventually go away. Now, I wasn't always like that. I mean, I had 270 different types of nutritional supplements, but everybody that came to see me had already been seen by some of the best naturopathic doctors in the world, and they came in with boxes full of nutritional supplements. And I would say, and they had a bad attitude. They would come to see me and say, well, what are you going to do for me that all the other doctors didn't do? You know, I mean, it was just this bad attitude. They had been from one doctor to another doctor, another doctor. And I said, well, tell me what all the other doctors did to clean you out really, really good before they gave you that box of supplements right there. And they would just look at me and say, well, they didn't. I mean, they didn't do anything to cleanse me out. And I said, well, that's what I'm going to do different. I'm going to cleanse you out really, really good. Cleanse all your organs out, because you're probably not even, your liver probably can't even break down half of that stuff. And your intestines probably can't absorb half of that stuff because they're all, you know, congested. So, you know, first of all, we have to take two steps back and clean you out really good before we take two steps forward. And then, you know, our job is to help your bodies and support your body's own self-healing mechanism and to reactivate it.
Mm, yeah, we were talking about the Hippocratic Oath before, and Hippocrates had another saying, let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food. What, don't they teach doctors in medical school anymore? Frickin' nutrition.
That's a good question. You know the answer to that. They don't want doctors to know anything about nutrition because they... Like I said, the second biggest thing that the pharmaceutical companies are scared of is that patients will actually be cured. And although there are more and more doctors right now in the U.S. that are leaning towards at least incorporating some form of natural medicine into their practice, and they're actually going in for training. I was speaking to 4,000 doctors at a big seminar last year about utilizing and recognizing the ability for the body to heal itself and actually evaluating the root cause. But the problem is the insurance companies over here, now that we have Obamacare, they don't cover any of this stuff. I mean, and that's another thing that's done by design, because they, you know, insurance companies should really be focusing on natural care and prevention. That's, and then they wouldn't have to pay out any claims. But because the insurance companies are either owned by or tied into the pharmaceutical companies, it just doesn't work that way. And, of course, they're not going to teach doctors about it. So doctors are now having to go on their own. And doctors are really, I mean, a lot of doctors over here are just quitting. Or they're going back to school. They're trying to find other things to do. Because, you know, it's not a healthcare system. It's a disease care system. And... you know, or these doctors are starting to learn more about natural medicine because they know that right now, over the last 5 years, there's so much information online that patients are coming into their doctor's offices with bags full of herbs and supplements. And they're saying, okay, doc, if you want to put me on this high cholesterol medication, is that going to interfere with any of these nutritional supplements that I'm taking? And the doctors are saying, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about nutrition. I don't know if it's going to, you know. And so they're embarrassed. So they're actually learning a little bit more about natural medicine.
Well, I'd probably say that's the good doctors. It's like with everything, there's a spectrum, you know. Like, let's say conspiracy, for example. The spectrum is like coincidence theorists on one end. We think everything happens by accident. On the very other end, there's the conspiracy theorists who think everything is deliberate. And in the middle, which is where the truth normally is in most things, you've got to have a convergence theorist, somebody who really believes in taking both ends of the spectrum and combining that ability to accept that there are mistakes and accept that there is scumbaggery in order to discern the truth. And in the case of medical doctors, or at least the ones that I've known to and spoken to personally, firstly, going into the medical system, you are basically subjected to basic mind control. Now, basic mind control is simply sleep deprivation, silo mentality, and repetition. Those are the three basic elements that I'm hearing from doctors that they have to go through. They never get any sleep. They have to memorize all this crap. And if they get anything wrong, everybody gives them grief about it. And so this forces the mind to adjust to a certain paradigm. And in so doing, because you're sleep deprived, you can't think. So you spend 7 years of your life not thinking, give or take. You know. And of course, this is generalized. I'm not saying, you know, doctors can't think. Far from it. But the point is, they're being made to do something. And that is not a good practice to make somebody obey a certain protocol instead of allowing them to discover different ways of doing things, because it's discovery and growth and evolution that seems to generate improvements for society. Structure holds it together once it's there, but I don't think we're there yet. We're talking about emergent, I think is the word, an emergent society rather than an established one, because an established one doesn't have any problems. Anybody who thinks that there's currently an establishment is out of their freaking mind under that yardstick.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That's what I've heard from doctors too, but I've heard a lot of doctors actually also say that the stimulant drug, that doctors through medical school are actually on medications most of the time. Most of the doctors, because they work long hours, are on stimulant-based medications like Adderall. It helps them concentrate for tests, and it's just rampant in the residency programs. And
the report last year that said that a large percentage of medical professionals are on drugs. They're either addicted to alcohol, or they smoke cigarettes, or they're obese, or something like this. It's almost like ironic that the health professionals are statistically speaking one of the least healthy group of sons of biatches in the planet Earth.
I think the average age of death for medical practitioners is around 55. I mean, they're just extremely unhealthy, stressed out, on medications. I mean,
it's almost as bad as dentists, like having like the highest rate of suicide than any profession, because they're just messing around with mercury all the time.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, that whole mercury scenario.
Dentists are from Mercury and women are from Venus. That's the end of our first hour with Dr. Edward Group, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, after the commercial break. Bear in mind, we are raising money for a new computer to make a documentary, hopefully being released on the 4th of July, because it's not just the United States that needs to celebrate having some kind of independence, even though it doesn't really have any. So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate today. We just had a donation today of $1,500 US by one donor in order to pay for this $4,000 US computer. So if we have two more people like that, everything's done. I had a listener pop round yesterday with $6,000 cash that he popped on my desk just so I could buy the computer, but even though he can't afford it, and he will need that back. So if anybody else has that kind of generosity, that kind of level of dedication, and is willing to give such an amount of support to me so that I can continue doing my work, oh my God, you can almost hear the emotion in my voice. We'll be right back. And welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, live from the future. and the future looks bright. Well, that's if you happen to be of the sunny disposition that reality doesn't exist and this is all in your imagination and you are merely the imagination of yourself. Now, some people might believe that. Other people's believe that if you get shot, you might die from it. I'm one of those people! Which is the reason why you have the motivation, or at least I have the motivation, to try and oppose scumbaggery and death and cruelty and mismanagement and stupidity. Okay? I just have to oppose it in every aspect of my life in any way that I can. Now, if you out there don't happen to be a douchebag with a narcissistic personality like me, maybe being a talk radio show host isn't your career of choice, mate. Instead, there are probably, I mean, top of my head, about 1 million jobs that need to be done in order to un-F this planet. Find out which one you want to do. And go out there and do it, son. Don't ask for help. Don't ask for mentorship. They will turn up as soon as you start doing what you're supposed to be doing. As soon as you start being who you really are. My very special guest is Dr. Edward Grope. Doctor, would you be able to give us your website there so people can go up and check out more of your stuff?
Yeah, thank you. It's www.globalhealingcenter.com. That's globalhealingcenter.com. And we have tons of information up there, video channel, Facebook, you name it. So, you know, we talk about, you can just type in the search bar any topic pretty much, and you'll be able to read multiple articles on it.
I was thinking about this learning curve. Like when I got out of high school and university and all of that stuff, I was like looking back and I go, my God, I spent 14 years in some kind of learning institution. And almost none of the things that I learned in there have really ever come of use to me. It's like I have to start again from scratch to unlearn everything that I've learned again. Have you noticed that same phenomenon? When you study for ages and you realize that it was all BS and you have to start from scratch again, you feel like an idiot?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, I ask myself, did I learn anything? You know, was there some part of that? Because, yeah, I was in school for 12 years, too, and almost went down that that wrong path and at the last second got saved and went to the path that I'm on now. And it's I talked to people and even all the patients that came to see us, most of them were, you know, CEOs and you know, high off people. And what one of the things I would always ask them, exactly what you said, is, do you love what you do? And a lot of times they were just like, no, they didn't. And, you know, if you really, like, one of the definitions of success is find something that you love to do and do it better than anybody else. I mean, and that's success. And a lot of times the majority of the people that are sick can't stand their job. And, you know, they're doing that for 8-10 hours a day, and then they come home and they, you know, they're already in a bad mood, and then it just rolls over, and, you know, that's how they live their life. And we would ask everybody too, the second question we would ask is, what do you do for fun? What makes you happy? And believe it or not, at least about 75% of the time, they would start crying right there. And they would say, I don't know. I don't know what I do for fun, and I don't know what makes me happy. But that was a pretty shocking development because, you know, you think about the population, you think about, you know, are the people don't even understand themselves. I mean, they literally are like sheeple and they just go and do things and they just repeat the same thing over and over again. And just like you know, at least like us, we found out in a certain amount of time, but think of all the people that are out there just doing the same thing.
But we're no better, bro. It was because somebody came into our life at the right place at the right time and told us the right thing. And it's almost like luck of the draw like that. I woke up because my flatmate introduced me to Bill Hicks, conspiracy theories, and weed.
Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, something that happens, and you meet the right people at the right time in your life, and it's got to be driven by that. That's the only thing I can think of. You know, I'm glad that happened to me. That's for sure. I mean, right at the right moment too. And pretty much when we talk to people, you know, now that you say that, they a lot of them say, you know, I just felt like I was guided here. And usually they're, for the most part, open to hearing, you know, what you have to say. And you give them the educational tools and you lead them in the right direction. And you just hope that they realize and find out what the truth is. And then some people, as you know, just think you're crazy and you're a lunatic. And I've been called the biggest quack in the plane. I mean, every name you can think of. Those people just aren't ready yet, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's just not the right time. It's the seventh man effect. Statistically, it'll take seven different people to tell you the same thing that's contrary to your currently strongly held beliefs before you'll consider abandoning them. So
yeah,
the trick is essentially to not try and convince an individual. The trick is to merely throw in what I call the information grenade. You pull the pin, you chuck it in, and hope like hell that it blows up in their face later.
Yeah, it's like the 100th monkey phenomenon. We're waiting for that to happen. But you said something earlier also, which I think has, you know, something to do that's increasing and increasing, and that's the amount of parasites that we have in our body. And I mean, the definition of a lot of people just think parasites are worms, but the definition of a parasite is really anything that lives off of a host mechanism. And it's kind of like the new biological attack, I think, that we're seeing now, especially with the Ebola hoax and you know, the big measles outbreak and the vaccinations and the different contaminants that they're putting in the body. But
it's the ubiquitous everything hoax.
Yes, exactly. We're seeing like a lot of different organisms. It's almost like a bioweapons and bioattack, because we've really been in an epidemic over the last 15 or 20 years with everybody being infested, and they don't even know it. See, so it's like a chronic suppression of your immune system, and that could be anything from a bacteria, mycoplasm, a worm, candida, fungus. I mean, we see fungus in practically every single person. Candida, viruses, bacteria, mycoplasms. And it's all because and what happens is all these organisms, they go to the bathroom in your system. So when they go to the bathroom, they secrete isopropyl. You might have, like, cancer patients we were saying had like 100 trillion microbes in their body. And if you take that many organisms and then they're going to the bathroom in your system and they're secreting formaldehyde, isopropyl alcohol, formalin, you know, these toxic substances, it just keeps your body in an acid state and literally just burns away at your system. So that's why it's super important to make sure that everybody, and you know, how many people do you know that eat sushi on a regular basis too now? And it's so important for people to understand that there's no way to avoid the exposure to parasites out there, that they need to cleanse those parasites out of their system as well, at least once or twice a year.
Which is why apparently the Japanese had a lot of wasabi on their fish, and it neutralizes a lot of the parasites and biological activity in it. And in Tahiti, they use lime on the fish for the same purpose. In Iceland, they ferment it, you know, and it's like there's all these natural long ago developed practices that are kind of like go with different foods, you know. A goes with B, etc., etc. And people think, oh, it's just because it tastes yummy. Well, in some cases, it actually performs a real function.
You're right. I mean, if people just look at what was done in the past, I mean, all the answers are there. You know, there's a lot of good research that came out and a lot of good techniques that were passed from grandma, you know, to daughter. I mean, all those, there is a reason for that. You know, the lime on there kills the parasites or whatever. And, you know, a lot of that stuff's just been forgotten with the technology of let's add chemicals, preservatives to it. Let's add chemical products, or let's microwave it or radiate it to kill off all the toxins. A lot of times people don't realize even most of the vitamin supplements in the herbal supplements they take are heavily irradiated and practically, you know, dead when they take them. And plus they gum up the intestines. So, yeah, you're right. If we just get back to – and some of those techniques are just so basic and so, you know, they've just been proven over the years that we should just almost go back to some of those old technologies.
I've got this idea that basically we're not evolving anymore. We're devolving, and it's been happening for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And you were talking before about parasites. Well, I just thought about this the other day. I'm a talk radio show host, so what does that make my listeners? Does that make them parasites too?
That makes them students.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just more like, the realization I came to is that there's a difference between being a talk radio show host and a talk radio parasite, because there are lots of hosts out there who literally prey on the weaknesses of their audience, and it's sickening to me. Like, as a person with morals and ethics, conscience, that sort of thing, I don't lie to people. I don't intentionally try to deceive them or anything. I can be wrong about things, and I admit it all the time. Because I'm a freaking human. And there's this mentality out there, and this is shared by a number of people, primarily psychopaths in positions of power, but they refuse to admit that they're wrong about anything. And as a result, people still, to this day, are being damaged by lies told so long ago that were never admitted.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, people these days, they want, you know, you to be truthful, and they understand you're going to make mistakes from time to time. And you know, if you just say, hey, I made a mistake on this, I was wrong, it just shows that you're honest, and it just shows that you're human. Exactly what you said. It's
I appreciate it might be difficult. Like, okay, who am I going to alienate with my next sentence?
No, I usually just say it how it is, and I'm kind of like you too, you know, on our blog and Facebook and stuff like that, and just try to, you know, give people the information and try to do the best research that I can on everything. And then, you know, like you said, I mean, sometimes you can't, you say something and, you know, people try to call you out on it, and you just have to go with the flow and just say, hey, look, you know, that was a mistake, and I'm trying to bring you guys the best and most honest information. And I've never had a problem with it. I think people respect that in the
if they're not narcissistic sociopathic scum who instead use the fact that you admit that you're wrong against you to show weakness or something. It's kind of like it's almost like a politics mixed with the Game of Thrones out there on the Facebook and YouTube threads sometimes. Everybody's like trying to assassinate you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's been, you know, we constantly go through those things and people try to attack. I mean, I believe that there's a system of trolls out there that are hired by pharmaceutical. Well, I've talked to people that they do have people that work for the pharmaceutical companies, people that work for the government, and that's their job. I mean, to just go on the natural health sites, to go on the radio show host sites and just try to discredit them and, you know, create controversy. And, you know, but
this is why I love the block function. I've got this little picture with SpongeBob SquarePants, like with a rainbow between his hands going, block, and the scum is gone.
Well, good. It's always nice to have a block feature. That's for sure. But yeah, it's another thing that we mentioned a little bit, something that I've noticed lately is the fact, well, Fukushima. I mean, we're starting to see a lot of birth defects over here. It's kind of off subject, but it just popped into my head. because of the fact that the research that we've been doing on iodine deficiency and talking to some people along the West Coast in the United States, and I don't know if that's affecting you guys at all over there, but we're starting to see birth defects across the – actually, you know, all across the United States, but more on the northwest corner.
Well, we don't know because about 6 months after Fukushima, the government ordered that the seawater no longer be tested for radiation. And they also ordered that all imports and products coming into New Zealand also not be tested for radiation. So we don't know what the level of contamination is in the sea that surrounds our entire effing country, which has more beaches than the Playboy Mansion. And we also don't know what products of ours are coming from Japan being contaminated, etc. So it's kind of like all up in the air. And because radiation causes, what's it like, 218 different symptoms, illnesses, or some ridiculous figure. I can't recall exactly what it is. But it causes a lot of different illnesses. And the only one that people know about is cancer. So they think if you get cancer, it might have been the radiation. But it could have also been 100 other factors. Whereas you've got 100 different diseases, all of which caused by radiation, and nobody knows what they are.
Isn't that convenient?
So when they get sick, they go to the doctor. The doctor says, hey, I've got some medication to relieve those symptoms, bro.
Yes, exactly. Don't take any more iodine and don't support your thyroid gland. You know, that's why I'm a big believer in iodine, because of all the iodine deficient people that are out there. And not only that, but just the radiation and the protection. I was studying a little bit about the calcification of the pineal gland too, and some articles out there about how fluoride calcifies the pineal gland, and that's what's really reducing the amount of spirituality, I guess, and the ability to connect or whatever.
Basically cuts you off from higher forms of consciousness other than the 3D.
Yeah, exactly. And how important iodine is to help decalcify the pineal gland. So, I mean, I don't recommend people a lot of supplements to people, but I do think that pretty much everybody is deficient in iodine, and it's just because that they're exposed to so many halogens out there, and also the radiation exposure as well. So I think everybody should be on an iodine supplement for sure.
I presume you have some on your website there, and I wanted to get your advice, actually, because there was I think it's John Appleton. He's a really good doctor here in New Zealand who sells like lipospheric vitamin C sachet packets and all that good stuff. And the type of iodine he sells is the Lugol's iodine. Have you heard of Lugol's?
Yes, I've heard of Lugol's. What we've done is we've basically – and Lugol's isn't a bad iodine to take. I mean, it's – you know, iodine is one of those minerals that is – I personally prefer the detoxified iodine or the nascent form of iodine, because it that's what our product is. But, you know, Lugol's has been around for a long period of time also. So the only thing with Lugol's is – it's in an alcohol base, and, you know, we don't know if that alcohol is genetically modified or not, but it's still, the point of the matter is just everybody should be on iodine. If you, whatever you can get, whatever you can't get, doesn't matter. Iodine also is just a wonderful way to keep your immune system strong too, because no microbes have been found to be resistant to iodine, you know, bacteria, viruses, any of that. Iodine is also something really good to have if you're a prepper, or if you want to have, you know, some survival stuff stored up, because it's so good for purification of water also. So it's just an all around good, you know, mineral to have stocked up, and it's not really that expensive, and a little bit goes a long way too. I mean, cuts, you can use it on cuts. I personally take it on a regular basis. It's just incredibly good also at helping balance out your hormone levels, which is another huge attack on the endocrine glands, like the thyroid. I mean, when the thyroid starts working and you have hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, the prostate gland actually requires iodine in males. So you have what's happening over here, and I don't know how bad it is over there, but you're also having this attack on testosterone on males, like fluoride lowers testosterone, flu shots lower testosterone levels, the chemtrails, the soy. You know, soy is an endocrine disrupting, high estrogens. I mean, we're basically living in a world now where you have a high, high, high estrogen content and a low, low, low testosterone content because of all the chemicals. So we see declining testosterone in males, declining testosterone in females. Males are becoming more feminine. You're seeing high estrogen levels in males. It's causing reduced sperm count in males, sexual dysfunction in males. I mean, when I was growing up, we never had fertility clinics. I mean, I didn't even know what a fertility clinic was. Nowadays, it's so hard to get pregnant that we have fertility clinics practically on every corner. So we have just a severe decline in human growth hormone. And
it's almost like our environment has been weaponized to a degree that turned everything into a weapon against reproduction.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, that's exactly what's happened. It's really been weaponized against reproduction, I would say, for a long time, but really in the last maybe 20 years, it's ramped up severely. Just look at Viagra. I mean, if you look at the other components in Viagra, it has FD&C blue number 2 in it. It has aluminum in it. It has titanium dioxide in it. It actually causes in some way, shape, or form low testosterone and possible sterility. So really a lot of things have been based on creating a sterile culture with the endocrine disrupting chemicals. I mean, they actually have gender bending qualities. They're everywhere. They're inside your home, personal hygiene products, chemical cleaners, the contraceptive gloves, contraceptive drugs. They interfere with the testosterone production.
Well, I heard even cases, was it Dr. Catherine Albrecht, I think, told me that there's been cases where people will take medications like a psychotropic medication or something and turn gay.
Yes.
Like, will actually, like, leave their wife to go and have an affair with another man and then stop the medication about a week later and wonder what the hell happened.
That's happening, and it's not only happening to men, but it's actually happening to the fetuses, because the way that the brains are, when the brain is developing, what's happening is the brain is developing. So you might have the brain of a boy, but the genitals of a girl, to where you seek another girl. You might have the brain of a girl, which is going to seek a boy, but you have the genitals of a boy. So it's really sad. There's actually some good YouTube videos out there too. But you're seeing boys develop enlarged testicles. You're looking at the puberty happening at 9 now instead of later on in life. Look at the shoe size of kids. How fast that's gone up, just because of the growth hormones. A lot of time there's growth hormones in the meat and the milk, all throughout. That they're eating. And then the high estrogen content too. And it's been proven that even if the pregnant or nursing women are exposed to endocrine disrupting chemicals, that they can transfer those to the child. And it just disrupts, the son's genitals and testicular descent. And, it can cause problems, which is really sad, because it can cause problems forever. Phthalates. I mean, the phthalates are another gender-bending chemical that can feminize men. You're absolutely right. And it can actually cause even birth defects in male infants. That's going to be, phthalates are most likely going to be found like in your vinyl flooring, detergents, soaps, shampoos, deodorants, hairsprays, all that stuff. And then, of course, you know about what happened with the bisphenol A, which is the was used in water bottles. But a lot of people don't know that it's still in any type of aluminum can is coated with bisphenol A. And that's...
It's in most printer inks as well. So whenever those people are like at a checkout or a cashier or something like that, touching those receipts all day long, that's going to manifest into something nasty later on. And I just heard, I think maybe a month or two ago from Suzanne Posel, OccupyCorporatism.com, that there's a whole bunch of new products that are stamped with the label BPA-free. And she started to look into what this new compound that they're using that is BPA-free, and it turns out it's even worse than BPA.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. I mean, pretty much any plastic is, you know, when it heats up is going to be damaging to the body, and especially when people microwave them and irradiate. It's shocking. You know, there's such a controversy over such as flu shots and microwave ovens and stuff like that. How can our government, you know, say that they're... You know, our government is here to protect us. Why would they be bad? You know, why would the government say if they're good? What the government says they're good, they must be good.
But oh, the naivete.
It's worked that way.
Yeah, it's like, oh, why would ruthless criminal sociopaths with more money than God and more power too want to extract more money from people and more power? Because they're crazy ruthless criminal sociopaths, maybe? You kind of answered your own question, son. And this is the exact same story throughout history, isn't it? It's never changed. It's always some scumbag or group of scumbags come together, mess everything up, and then one dude who's pretty awesome, or a group of dudes who are pretty awesome, overthrow them and make society better again. And then the scumbags come back. It's a perennial issue, and I don't think we're ever really going to get over that cycle. I wish that we could. I just don't see any evidence that it's possible as yet, because I think that the entire thing about being human is that we've got free will. And what's free will if everybody's good and nobody's evil and there's nothing to oppose you? Nothing to tempt
it's
you.
Like, every single thing can be traced back. It's like the whole, you remember 10, 15 years ago, no one really even knew what soy was. But they came up with the genius idea. Monsanto had the genetically modified soy that, oh, wait a second, soy... Well, we know that soy contains phytoestrogens, and that can literally, with the genetically modified, if we promote that, we can probably create lots of sterility, mess with everybody's hormone levels, because they're going to have soy products are in every single thing now, and it's going to alter the – it's going to increase the estrogen content, decrease the testosterone, and we know that that's going to be an endocrine disruptor and could cause sterility and all the other things. So let's go ahead and heavily market soy.
I want to make a documentary about that exact instance that you're talking about, and I'm going to call it Monsanto's Creature from the Black Legume.
Ooh, that's a good name, yeah. Yeah. What movie are you working on right now, your documentary that you're – that you're doing that you need the funds for your computer, because I was going to make a donation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a full spectrum thing, so it will cover pretty much... Let's face facts here. Every single conceivable topic that you can think of requires years of research generally to understand. So I've been gifted with the gift of summation. So I can hear somebody... give me years worth of research and then sum it up within a few paragraphs and not leave out a single detail. I kind of have that talent. And it occurred to me that there's so many documentaries about individual topics, or maybe a couple of topics, and they go really, really in-depth to them. But what I want to do is actually kind of compress about maybe 15 different topics, like going through from Agenda 21, climate change, health, secret societies, world government, etc., and actually tie them all in a kind of story-like fashion and be able to sum up each subject within about a six-minute time frame, give or take. And the idea is to have such an overload of information and cynical comedy that people will have a radically changed worldview by the end of it and actually understand the mechanism by which things work and more specifically how they work in unison together. Having a basic understanding of that mechanism, I think, is absolutely important, particularly if people want to start researching into those individual topics to understand them more clearly, because all of us have our own interests, our own ideas, and sometimes we just want a general overview to find out what's bad and what's good.
That is going to be awesome. I mean, that's exactly what everybody needs right now, just to spread that thing everywhere, to wake up, you know, wake up as many people as we can. That's going to be powerful. When are you planning on launching that?
I'm going to release it on the 4th of July, tentatively. I've already had replies from a number of the guests confirming that they want to be a part of it. So it's going to be sort of like pitched at an American audience, but it's about New Zealand, and what's going on in America is exactly what's happening here, and it sort of relays how that all works. And the first example in the film is that John Key, who's our current Prime Minister, was elected in 2008 on a campaign platform of change representing the Blue National Party, and he came from Wall Street. And his literally the Federal Reserve of Wall Street, Bank of New York, I'm not kidding. And in his first term of office, borrowed more money than all previous prime ministers combined. And then Barack Obama, who got elected in 2008 on a campaign platform of change for the Blue Democratic Party, who was incidentally connected with a whole bunch of Wall Street people and was financed twice as much by Wall Street bankers as his opponent, Mr. McCain. Ah, McCain, you've done it again. And then he borrowed more money in his first term than all previous presidents of the United States combined. And you'll see that it's like that. I get a lot of questions asking, you know, what's New Zealand like? Is it okay? Is it virtually New World Order free, etc.? And I'm like, no. Just basically rubber stamp it with every problem that you've currently got in the States and then tweak it a little so that it's got a different accent and a different police uniform with blue thread and black and white Masonic checker instead of just all black with a ski mask. And then you're pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, because everything I've heard about New Zealand is it's just, I mean, it's like the cleanest, the land, the like all of the organic stuff. Like if you want anything, you make sure you get it from New Zealand. It's like, you know, I really haven't heard any.
Well, we've got a pretty interesting mood here because our advertising for tourism is actually our number one industry. Guess who the tourism minister is? The Prime Minister, John Key, from Wall Street. and guess what our advertising campaigns are? 100% pure New Zealand. Did you know that 30% of our lakes are off limits to humans because they're too freaking dirty in clean, green New Zealand? Did you know that about 25% of our lakes are kind of a bit iffy? So that means less than half of the places where you can swim naturally in the environment, whether it be a river or a lake or a beach, is too contaminated.
Wow, that's pretty shocking. I never knew that.
Yeah.
What about or do they have chemtrails over there?
Oh yeah, like I said, bro, rubber stamp it. Just assume that it's a smaller scale instead of 300 million people getting probably say like 5,000 chemtrails a day or something. You've only got about 4 million people getting about maybe 10 chemtrails a day or something closer to that. And we've got I've got listeners all over the country, and they're always sending me pictures of this down halfway down the country, that down the end of the country, and all this sort of stuff. We've got fluoride in the water. We just managed to get it out of Hamilton. It's like our fourth largest city's water supply. And then guess what happened? Just as Dr. Paul Connett predicted, the council, the local district health board funded a propaganda campaign to demonize all the councillors that voted to get the fluoride out. And they had a re-vote on it, and they put it back in.
Oh,
yeah. See, it's like I call it fractal scumbaggery. You know what a fractal is? Kind of like a hologram. You zoom in on one part of the hologram, and what it does is it gets bigger, and then you start to see the exact same pattern repeating itself again and again. The deeper you go, the same thing. And I call it fractal scumbaggery. So for every instance of scumbaggery that you start to zoom in on and start looking, you'll start to see all new kinds of repeating patterns of scumbaggery that you've seen before.
That's right. Well, you know, what? One of the things that they're spraying, we were talking about the hormone-disrupting chemicals, and a lot of people don't know about the metalloestrogens. And the metalloestrogens are mercury, cadmium, aluminum, and lead. I mean, those there's a few other, like copper and tin is also a metalloestrogen. But like what you were saying, how they ramped up on the sterility and on the attacking the hormones and disrupting our endocrine systems with the chemtrails, where they're spraying aluminum nanoparticles into the air. And then you have the mercury, which is, you know, in all the dental, you know, caries and everywhere else that you find it. And then you have the lead, and then you have the cadmium, too. So, you know, when you combine all those things, those can be potent neurotoxins and potent endocrine-disrupting compounds.
It's the, what was it? It's, they said in June, it's the slow blade that penetrates the shield.
Yes.
Everything has to be soft. You can't just inject somebody with a vaccine and watch them die. You have to inject somebody with a vaccine and wait till they get home and go to sleep before the baby has a convulsion and dies. And then blame the parents and call it battered infant syndrome.
Right. They're even taking the infants over here away from parents. The parents want to take their child that might be diagnosed with cancer, or the parents don't want to go the standard medical route, and they're seizing the children from the parents and forcing them to go through and taking them away to child custody. I mean, they can't, you know, some parents, it took them 2 years of fighting the system to get their kids back.
I'm half expecting to see men with a horse and carriage with bars with giant lollipops dancing down the street going into people's homes any minute now. It's straight out of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Right, especially with this new measles thing. They have a new measles outbreak here, which measles never killed anybody. It's no big deal. But there's a huge push on all the TV channels all day long about it was all the unvaccinated children that are spreading the measles. So they're trying to convince everybody that, you know, you have to be vaccinated. You have to be vaccinated. You need to go get your MMR boosters. We even have, like, you can get a flu shot or a vaccine on every corner here in the United States. Like, every single drugstore, CVS, Walgreens, all those guys, they all offer not only flu shots or vaccinations, but if you get one, you get 10% off whatever you buy, or up even sometimes now they're competing with each other and offering 20% off what you buy if you go in and you get a flu shot or if you get vaccinated. And now they're pushing this big MMR booster. It's just like they create a false flag like the Ebola situation, because if you track that back, you know that they were working on, you know that the Ebola survives on surfaces for a long time. They create, you know, years ago they were working on Ebola vaccines. You know, then all of a sudden you create panic and you create fear with the whole Ebola situation over in Africa. And now you're going to have a stockpile of vaccines come in, and most likely something's going to happen, and they're going to have all those vaccines ready.
Well, the claim is that vaccines virtually wiped out all these really dangerous, serious diseases, right? But the fact is that vaccines only started being used when all those such diseases were already in decline to the frickin' vanishing point, you know? It's like, to believe that vaccines are solely responsible, you'd have to believe also that every single 20th and 21st century discovery that affected the spread or severity of disease didn't do anything. including any and all advances in medicine, sanitation, diet, food preparation, packaging and transport, nutrition, technology, education, vitamins, soaps and disinfectants. I mean, people actually believe that a live virus, foreign and animal DNA, mixed with heavy metals injected directly into the bloodstream, are effective at combating disease. They actually believe it.
It's just like people believe that they needed, like, the medical, one of the biggest things the medical profession wanted to do was convince people that if you had a fever, you needed to reduce the fever, because they knew that 99% of all viruses, bacteria, organisms that cause you to become ill die between 100 degrees and 106 degrees. The body can go up to 106.5, 106.6. If it stays there for a certain amount of time, yes, it's going to cause damage. But what we learned when we were working with cancer cells is, and like Royal Rife's technology blamed cancer on the BX virus that was dead at 106.4, is that, you know, you would inject the needle into the tumor, heat it up, and the cancer cells would die and the normal cells would stay, you know, fine. So one of the things the medical profession has done very effectively is convince people that they need to take something to reduce a fever. And then that's why they also sell all the different fever reducing medications, as well as getting people on antibiotics, when naturally the body will heal itself when the fever goes up to a certain degree. Like, I have two sons, and I've never given them anything to reduce their fever because it's a natural process the body takes. One of my sons had a fever up to 106.4, but it was only for a few seconds. And then after it got up to the temperature that it needed to kill off whatever was in the body, boom, the temperature comes right back down. And within, you know, 30 minutes, my kid is up playing around and doing what he needs to do. So one of the worst things that we do as a society, because we've been manipulated to believe that's what we're supposed to do, is actually suppress the body from doing its own job.
Have you noticed that same suppression syndrome applies to almost any discovery? You know? It's like, hey, we've got this free energy device. Suppressed! But I don't want it to be suppressed. Killed!
We have a car that runs on water. Suppress!
Yeah. Oh, but I'm going to build it anyway.
Killed!
I mean, it's like we're being governed by the frickin' Daleks from Doctor Who, bro. Like, honestly. And you know, Maybe they can't even make their way upstairs, you know. There's probably some simple way to beat them.
You're right. It is. It's a suppression and a brainwashing, and it starts early on in schools. I mean, you know, I don't know how bad the school systems are over there, but here they're just, you know, the public school system is disastrous. It's just, you know, what the kids are taught, how they're taught, it's all, you know, propaganda.
Yeah, one of the most frightening things to learn is just how frickin' stupid you really are.
Yeah. It's, you know, but hopefully things, I mean, you know, you have to keep a good, you know, you have to try to hope that things will change in a positive direction and people will wake up and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But
I don't know about you, but I kind of dwell in despair in order to feed my hope. I got the idea of Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, and the villain's like got Batman in this dark, you know, place where he can't escape, where he's just watching his city be destroyed on television, right? And he told him that this is the reason we need to torment you, not your body, but your soul. Because in this place where there is no escape, but you can see the way out right above you, you realize that there is no true hope without despair. It cannot be, let's just say this, you can't really understand how powerful or how strong you are or how easy it actually is to make a change in your own life or a minor change to the world if you don't have despair sometimes to motivate you.
Right. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Well, it's just like another, this is kind of, you know, going back to the whole vaccine thing, but, you know, this year our government came out and approved for like 6, 7, or 8 different vaccinations. But what they did was this year they used quadrivalent and trivalent vaccines. So they actually used 4 influenza, avian flu type viruses live in one, and then three mixtures in all the other ones. Well, anyone who does even a tiny bit of research on influenza knows, like, it, you know, people say, oh, you got to go run, take your flu shot. You got to run, take your flu shot. I say, oh, really? Well, just type in influenza and just read about it. Every time it replicates, it's a different strain. It's impossible to develop a flu shot to the influenza virus. But this year was very, very strange. What they did was Tamiflu is one of the drugs that they promote to. You know, years ago, when in 2009, when the H1N1 flu virus outbreak, there was concern about the pandemic, and then there was billions of dollars stockpiled by governments from Tamiflu all over the world. Well, guess what? The 2014 flu vaccine had a substrain of the H1N1 in there, and the 5-year expiration date just happened to be coming up on the Tamiflu. So the FDA approves a 5-year extension just in time, actually. They approved the 5-year extension in 2009 to 2014. Oh, you don't think there was anything that had to do with the reason why they put a strain of the H1N1 in all the flu vaccines this year, and the live viruses, which could shed for 17 to 21 days to anyone who didn't get the flu vaccine or the flu shot. So basically, they put all the live viruses in the flu shots, gave them to the people that would line up, and they knew that they would spread the flu to everybody else. And then they ran millions of dollars of commercials of Tamiflu, go see your doctor and get Tamiflu. So they just got rid of their whole stockpile before it expired that they spent billions of dollars on, and they infected the general population with, you know, substrains of the flu.
We called it scammy flu, and there were people who were, like, in Japan, I think, committing suicide. One kid jumped from a 13-story balcony naked, and another kid ran outside in sub-freezing temperatures naked as well, and died of the elements. it's just freaking crazy. I was out there on the streets with Penny Bright, local activist, protesting this swine flu thing, and it's like the U.S. government ordered $979 million worth of that Tamiflu crap, right? And it was like expired. And when they had a look at the when they split open the virus, the swine flu virus that they were really afraid of, it turns out the virus itself had four different components. It had two swine flu, one human flu, and one avian flu component to it. You know what that means? It means it was engineered. And guess what? None of the people who came down with swine flu, or the first recorded cases anyway, had any contact with pigs of any kind.
Right. You're right. I mean, it's the flu shot every year is engineered. I mean, they engineer it every year. And they had the Cochrane review that came out and said if a million people take Tamiflu, like 45,000 will experience vomiting, like 30-something thousand would get headaches, and 11,000 would get psychiatric side effects. So, yeah, and then they came out and basically said it doesn't even work. I mean, it's just, you might as well just take a placebo or something.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a bit lately. I mean, when it comes to pushing bioweapons like vaccines, let's not mince words here, it helps to appeal to people's emotions and say, somebody please think of the children. You ever get that kind of crap, you know? Because after all, who could argue with that? You don't want to kill kids, do you? It's a great way of shutting down any possible rational debate, making anyone who imposes indoctrinated brainwashed thinking look like a demon.
That's right. I mean, you know, that's how they use it. I mean, through the media, and, you know, let's protect the children. So, yeah, the UK government spent like £500 million stockpiling it. The US spent, you know, $1.3 billion, I think, in 2009. I mean, that's a crazy amount of wasted money that's being spent when all they could have, what they should have stockpiled was iodine, silver, oregano oil, you know, the natural stuff that works just as good, but without any side effects.
And the people pushing this stuff, they don't even know what it is, you know. And that's the real scary thing. Like, I asked a nurse one time who's been, you know, giving people vaccines for 30 plus years, can you name me one ingredient? Blank stare came over her face. She's been promoting the use and telling people who don't that they're crazy and dangerous. And in all those years, never once asked for a list of ingredients. So, you know, I tried to inform her. I said, okay, it's got a live virus in it to prevent you getting the virus. It's using thimerosal as a preservative, which is 50% mercury, the world's strongest neurotoxin. And they argue, oh, but it doesn't have thimerosal added into it afterwards anymore. Yes, that's correct. But what they do is they use the thimerosal during the manufacture. So it's still not filtered out completely. And they use oil and water adjuvants, which are linked to frickin' Gulf War syndrome. I mean, you know, well, hey, Gulf War. Hey, we've got all these chemical weapons and everything that we sold to Saddam. He might use them on our own troops. What should we do to protect them? I don't know. Maybe let's inject some chemical weapons into the bloodstream with squalene and oil and water adjuvant. Hey, that's a brilliant idea. And on top of that, you got aborted fetal cells. So a baby gets aborted, they cut open the fetus, grab its organs, grow viruses on it, and then put that foreign DNA into a syringe and put it right into your bloodstream. Okay, now, I'm no doctor, but I don't think that skin exists for no reason. It's there for a reason, you know. It's to prevent stuff from getting into your bloodstream that ain't supposed to frickin' be there, including other people's frickin' blood. I mean, that's just me, you know. Choosing to not take vaccines has nothing to do with, you know, big pharma making money off of it. That's just a side issue. It has to do with them being found to be both ineffective and dangerous.
If everybody just spent a little bit of time doing their own research, I mean, we just have a society that just believes the first thing that they hear, and they don't take it, you know, they don't take just a little bit of time and effort to look at everything and say, wait a second, before I go get this, you know, flu shot injected into my body, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes and look and do some research and maybe type in Google, are flu shots dangerous, or what's in a flu shot? It just amazes me that people don't do that. It's
I was arguing with a guy about this just yesterday, bro, and he was like, well, come to me and I'll give you a 3-hour lecture and change your mind on this video. And I was like, bro, come on. And I was asking him to do his own research and start searching out things for himself. And he's like, oh, I can't do that. And I need you to provide me with the scholarly papers and things of that to read so I can make my own decision. And I was like, okay, I came up with this list of A through Ds of things you cannot do. A, expect others to provide you with all the evidence you need to make an informed choice without doing any of your own digging or thinking. B, refuse to question what you're being told by people in a position of authority. C, reject everything you're told by people who question those in a position of authority. And D, assume if you haven't seen something that it does not exist.
That's awesome. So what did he say?
Well, he didn't think any of the above applied to him. I call it the vampire effect, people who cannot see themselves in the mirror.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, at least we're aware, and at least we're not being exterminated. And we've just come to the end of the broadcast. Dr. Edward Group has been my guest, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have enjoyed bringing it to you. And like you said in the beginning of the broadcast, if you want to be happy, find something that you love doing and doing it better than anyone. I like being a douchebag talk radio show host with a large cadre of terrible jokes. And I must say, I do it better than anyone. So, Dr. Ed, if there's any final words, links and plugs and things of that nature you'd like to get out, go for your life, because this show is much like a bathtub. It doesn't function terribly well without a plug.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I had a great time, and I'm glad that your listeners are, you know, listening to you and you're getting all the information out there. If you want to find out more about, you know, how you can avoid these things and easy solutions to replacing the toxic chemicals in your home, everything, I have a book called The Green Body Cleanse, which goes over the root cause of all disease and very easy and simple ways to eliminate disease and reactivate your body's own self-healing mechanism. Also, you can just browse through our website at www.globalhealingcenter.com. And if you need to, just contact us through there. We'll be happy to help anyone in any way, shape, or form on just easy methods that we've developed to help clean your body, your intestines, your liver and gallbladder, your kidneys, your basically repair your body to where it's clean and healthy again, and how to change your environment into a clean and green environment.
What a freaking legend you are, bro. Thanks for coming on. And also, I'd like to remind everybody that we are, when I say we, I mean the royal we, meaning me, making a documentary about all of the crazy stuff that's going on, summing it up in just kind of like a need-to-know basis, what you need to know about how everything sort of works and fits together. And need a new computer for that. We have been given $6,000, New Zealand dollars, that is, to purchase said computer already. And the person who did it just simply can't afford to give me that $6,000 completely, because he will be broke without it soon enough. He just wagered that I needed to start doing this project, I needed the equipment, and he hoped that because of his act of getting that done, that it may inspire others to donate significant amounts as well, so that I can get the cash back to him at least before the end of the year, before he runs out of any disposable income. The December and November months are the hardest times of year for this poor fellow. So if you have any empathy for that, or any respect for that, or if you want to see this documentary, please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and make a generous donation today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again sometime.